Oldie Recordings presents Jonathan Themby on the history of modern France from the revolution to the present day. Brought to you by Doro, number one in the senior mobile market.
Sorry about that. Will you welcome our first speaker? Our first speaker retails the history of modern France, or the agony of the present, but it will advance. And he chronicles its story as a former head of Reuters, but now your lyrical link man loiters. Enough! Hail him from Tavistock to Tenby. You try rhyming. Will you welcome Jonathan Themby?
Thank you, Barry. Have you copyrighted that, or can I use it? Thank you. I'll try and remember it. There are very few rhymes for Themby, it's quite true. Yeah. I have a major problem today, which is my book, which I was going to talk about, covers 225 years of French history, and I have 10 minutes, which means I have to get through a quarter of a century per minute, and I've already wasted 25 years. So I'll speak very quickly about the book, and then perhaps say something about France today, which won't necessarily be as jolly as the occasion requires, but several people before lunch said, would I say something about events this year in France, which are distinctly on the somber side, of course. My argument in the book is that France is a country which finds it very difficult to live with its own history, that it has this idea of French exceptionalism, that the revolution, to which everything goes back in the end, gave, in the words of one former president, Jacques Chirac, made France the beacon for the world. Liberty, equality, fraternity, although women weren't given the vote till 1944, we forget about things like that, and the rights of man and everything else. And all this is the glorious values of France as epitomized in the Republic of France today. On the other hand, every time that there's been a clash between left and right in France, the left has often initially won the revolutions, four or five of them, depending on how you count it. But the conservative forces in France have come back very quickly afterwards to establish long-term dominance. As the French saying goes, we have our hearts on the left and our wallets on the right. And we know how people vote for the most part there. And this is a real problem because France thinks of itself as this great progressive nation all the time, but is often voting for conservatives or certainly not putting its trust in those who would change society, change the economy, and change politics. And we see today, recently with the terrible terrorist attacks in France, how François Hollande, this immediately became not simply a terrible series of massacres and killings, but an attack by ISIS and the terrorists on French values. The French see these kind of terrible events as an attack on what makes France what it is today. And that's a thesis that runs throughout my book. The book is not entirely, despite that, about politics and heavy themes of that kind. There's a lot of culture in it, I hope. There's a certain amount of food and wine, too. And there are a few salty stories along the way, such as the leading French aristocrat of the 1830s, who the Prince de Condé, who was discovered dead in his chateau at Chantilly, having gone through some rather edgy sex games with his English mistress. This was, of course, blamed on opposition politicians, but seems to have been a much more simple occasion. Or Napoleon III, whose favorite mistress used to walk into the bedchamber naked on her hands. She was a former circus acrobat. And he liked to spend the weekends dressed up in a plasterer's outfit with a paper hat on him, decorating her house. By the time he got back to the Elysee Palace, he was so exhausted that he couldn't attend to affairs of state. So I deal with some of the human elements as well in the book. To come up to date without bashing the French, and the French like to talk about authors like myself as French bashing has become something people complain about a great deal. France this year undoubtedly has had a pretty difficult time. The economy is in the doldrums, unemployment is very high, 25% youth unemployment in some areas of France. There have been the terrorist attacks, first of all in January, on Charlie Hebdo and the kosher supermarket, which I cover in my book, and then, of course, the massacres in Paris in November, which have turned François Hollande from being a man who was compared to a blancmange until recently into the war president, bombing Syria and declaring that in doing so, as I say, he is defending the values of the Republic. And then, most recently, to bring us up to date, the National Front success in regional elections. Again, the book covers the whole rise of the National Front, which I've been covering for 30 years or more. And I must say what's happening now doesn't come as any kind of surprise. The fact that the National Front did not win control of any of the regions of France on Sunday night, in fact, was probably the best thing that could have happened to Marine Le Pen and her colleagues, because they don't have the awkward business of actually running anything. I mean, if you were trying to run Calais, as she would have had to if she'd won that, I mean, who would want to undertake that? She can go on criticizing. The fact that the left and the right combined to stop the National Front means that she can claim to be the only opposition force in France, and indeed speaks of herself as the real resistance. And so you have headlines like this, Sursis Républicain, which is a kind of pun in French, but is basically the Republican values and everything have won in Le Monde. But down the bottom, I think a much more telling cartoon by Plantu showing Marine and her niece saying, oh, there's nothing to do, we haven't got any allies, nobody loves us. And you have Hollande and Sarkozy embracing each other on the other side, and another National Front saying, well, nobody loves us except the 28% of French people who voted for us. And this is the sobering thing, that 28% of people voted for the National Front, that Marine Le Pen will almost certainly finish first in the second round, the first round of the presidential election in 2017, that the National Front is now the biggest party for workers in France, and that during the recent election campaign, you had middle-class, middle-aged people from the provinces saying to the television camera, yes, I voted for the National Front because they will change everything. 10 years ago, people wouldn't have admitted to it. Now they've become, as the French say, banalized. The National Front is a factor, an element, a party that is here to stay in France, and none of the mainstream politicians know what to do about it. They will appeal to those values of the Republic. The question now is whether those can stand up in a country which is increasingly unsure of itself and doesn't know where it's going, is brought down by the economy, unemployment, social fracture, and so on. So I'm sorry not to finish on a more joyous seasonal note. I still love France. Some French commentators have said, well, with friends like Mr. Fenby, who needs enemies? But I'll go on doing so. And the amazing thing is that I wrote a book 20 years ago called France on the Brink, and it's still on the brink. And that perhaps is the genius of France. Thank you.
Well done. The Old Magazine Recordings. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for The Oldie 2015.